I am able to take them and help them grow their business. And this is done without advertising. This is done without spending any money. This is done without the use of the internet or funnels or landing pages or social media. And it's been very, very exciting to be able to do that.
Welcome to the My Future Business Show, where we get you in front of your best audience and keep you there. Not only are we interviewing the biggest names in business to help you become even more successful, we're inviting you to book your spot on the show to help you grow your business. So at the end of the call, make sure you fill in the interview application form at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews.
Hi, and welcome back to the My Future Business Show. My name's Rick Nusky, and I always love to start by acknowledging you, the listener, for supporting the show, for without you, this show just isn't what it can be. So thank you so much for hopping on board with us today. And speaking about amazing things, I'm on the line with Paul Samakow. How are you, Paul?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much.
How did I go with your surname? Did I get the surname right?
My last name is pronounced Samako.
Samako. Well, there you go. I have been corrected. Now, Paul and I, Paul and I have just been talking a little bit offline about his wonderful work. He is an attorney formerly, I guess you would say, Paul. He's also a book author. He's now a consultant and coach. And we're going to be taking a deep dive into his book, which he will talk to. But prior to that, Paul, I love to learn more about my guests before we jump into the core of the call. Things like where you are and what you like doing and that sort of thing. Would you mind sharing a little bit about yourself with the My Future Business audience?
My pleasure. Thank you for asking. So, Rick, I am actually continuing as an attorney. I'll never give that up as long as I'm able to breathe and to pick up a pen and to, you know, have somebody to listen. Lawyers like to talk, so that would be me. But I have a consulting business as well that really has nothing to do with my legal practice. I'm 64 and a half years young. I have a wonderful wife. I have two daughters. My daughter just gave birth to our first grandchild, a little girl down in Florida.
Fantastic.
I'm an avid book reader. I'm an avid tennis player. And I like to style myself as a marketing junkie. I'll never use the word expert because I don't think I get that lofty title, but if there's something in the world that's been written about marketing or what I like to call the psychology of persuasion, chances are I've read it. Chances are I've read it three or four times and devoured it. So that's, if I'm not paying attention to family and I've got nothing to do, I'll put my nose in a book and just read about, you know, any number of things that have to do with marketing and persuading people to do what you'd like them to do.
Absolutely. And there would be a long list of books that you would have read of influential people, mentors and the likes. Do you have any favorites?
I do. The guy who wrote many of the books is Dan Kennedy.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure you're familiar with him.
Oh, yeah.
He's a very hard sell philosophy, and I don't agree with everything that he's ever written, but he's a brilliant guy. I've looked at many books that are written by Dan and Chip Heath.
Yes,
which are not necessarily marketing books, but they give you perspectives that you can apply. There's a guy by the name of Malcolm Gladwell who I think is just an absolute genius, and I'm
yes.
actually going to be where he's going to be as a speaker in November. I'm looking forward to meeting him. The list goes on. I mean, I could, is this a half hour show? I could probably list more authors than there are in a half hour.
Well, look, I do appreciate you giving us some insight. I think it's great context for the rest of the call. And you talked a little bit about speaking and the part of the thrust of today's call is about how you have a unique way of going about getting booked. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about that.
Well, thanks for asking. I have that book that you have your hands on, and I really appreciate that you've taken the time to look at it a little bit, and thank you for the compliment about it. And I want to throw one back at you. We selected a couple of different places for me to be a guest on podcasts, and you were among the top, so you have done an outstanding job. I compliment you on who you are and what you've been able to do, by the way.
I'm humbled. Thank you.
But I have come to something which is really not in that book. that book is a traditional book about marketing, and the back end is the legal, which I'm able to write, you know, mm-hmm. as an attorney and help people, you know, cover their behinds, because one mistake in a business could cost you quite a bit if you don't cross the T's and dot the I's, as they say. So that's why that book is in two parts, with the legal end of it. But I've come across a method that I started before this COVID-19 virus hit the world. Mm-hmm. And I got a couple of clients, and I expect to do that, you know, more and more. But it involves speaking. And you go into, you know, a place where they're potentially interested in hearing what you have to say, and you have to pick and choose where you're going to look to try and get speaking engagements. And you make a nice presentation to the audience. And at the end, two or three or five, 10 people, depending upon the size of the audience, they want to learn more. So they become my consulting clients, and I am able to take them and help them grow their business. And this is done without advertising. This is done without spending any money. Mm-hmm. This is done without the use of the internet or funnels or landing pages or social media. And it's been very, very exciting to be able to do that. And again, you know, I'm a lawyer, so I speak. I mean, you know, it's like, okay, enough, Paul, shut up already, right? It's like, stop talking, Paul. But, you know, there's an art to speaking. And, you know, what is that expression? It was 95% of the world would rather die than speak in public.
In public, yes.
And it's really not that big a deal. It's not that hard, because nobody makes a perfect presentation ever. I mean, it's impossible. And if you're able to laugh at yourself, if you say the wrong word, you go, oh, that's not what I meant to say. Nobody gets upset. Nobody thinks, oh, I'm not going to listen to this person anymore.
Yeah.
There's an art to it, and that's an academic thing. Doing it is really not that hard. It's not that scary. I mean, it's like when you're 4 years old or three or five or whatever it is, and your mom and your dad take you out and there's that bicycle, you're petrified. Oh my gosh, I'm going to fall. I'm going to hit the tree. I'm going to run into the dog. But after you start doing it once or twice, it's like, ah, eh, ma, leave me alone. I take those training wheels off. I don't need that.
And that's what speaking is. And
so when you have a comfort level in being able to address an audience, then you start detailing about your subject matter. And your subject matter could be as varied as your imagination. You can talk about how to yarn. You can talk about how to grow apples. You can talk about how to run a pharmacy. You can talk about how to have a mobile dog grooming business. What is it that you like? What is it that gets you excited? Why is it that you want to get out of bed in the morning? Whatever it is, then you can talk to a group who are people who have similar interests. So if I'm going to talk about dog grooming, I'm not going to go to, I don't know.
A pancake making venture?
Pardon me?
Like some sort of other event, like a pancake making workshop or something?
Right. You're not going to go address a group of race car drivers.
No.
But you get your product or your service that you can talk about. And this is one of the fun things about teaching people how to be speakers, is that you don't have to teach them how to talk about their product or their service, because if they don't know that, goodness gracious. Well, you know, I mean, you could talk about being a podcast host without a lot of preparation. You know, the guy who is a dancer could talk about how he does the dance moves without a lot of preparation. You don't have to memorize things. There's no absolutes in the presentation. These are things we do naturally. We do in our sleep. We do with our eyes closed. And talking about it is a joy. And that's one of the attractive things about this type of business that I'm teaching others. We are attracted to people who are excited themselves. If you speak to somebody and you tell them, yeah, I got this business and it's all right.
Yeah.
Nobody's listening because you're not excited. Why should they be excited? On the other hand, if you come out like gangbusters, I've got something that it makes me, you know, then it's like, okay, everybody wants to know, what is it? There, your excitement is infectious. And so the process of the 30-minute, 45-minute presentation that I teach people how to make results in, with a few calculated different things that we do in there, results in many of the audience members wanting to learn more and saying, you know, hey, you know, can you work with me? Can you teach me?
Can we take this to the next level?
I can.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been doing.
Thank you. I sit here and a couple of things that come to mind, Paul, is that if you have the ability to tell a story that relates to your audience, you have aligned yourself with what's important to them. We all gather stories, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, again, Rick, you know this adage, stories sell, facts tell. So if you're going to stand up there and boringly tell people all about something, it's like, okay, ho-hum. But when you tell them a story, everybody wants to know, what's the end? Yep. What happened? And that's part of what I teach.
Yeah, thank you. I also think I can see you on the stage, and I've looked over your website, which is fantastic. Everybody should go there, and I'll provide the details of that at the end of the show. But you are now taking away, stripping away the traditional idea of funnels and things like that. You're getting on stage. You're building a relationship from somewhat of a distance initially, but you link it to your book. That's a really interesting take. Can you talk a little bit about, where the genesis for the idea of the book came from?
Well, marketing is based on relationships, and it's based on individuals who have an emotional itch that needs to be scratched. And when they want to get that scratch, they then justify with logic. So the guy who wants that shiny new red sports car, emotionally, he has to have this. He then goes home and tells his significant other all the reasons that he should have it, justifying it with logic. And my book talks about that, and it talks about, again, the three pillars that are critical to any sale, to any part of convincing somebody to buy what it is that you have, that you're selling or service your product. And those are the three words, Rick, you know them: know, like, and trust. People want to do business with other people that they know, like, and trust. And that is a big theme in my book. And it segues absolutely beautifully to a circumstance where then you're taking a microphone and speaking in front of 20 people or 50 people or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And it makes it, instead of a long process, it makes it into an instantaneous process. Tell me that there's someone who has ever watched Oprah Winfrey, who after a 1 hour watching of her show when she was on air, didn't instantly know, like, and trust her, because she was human. She opened herself up to her audience, even though it was how many multi-millions of people all over the world that were watching her at any given time. Mm-hmm. But one show is all it took for you to love Oprah. You knew her in your mind.
Yep.
You liked her. And this is someone you just trusted. You'd let Oprah into your house. You'd give her the key.
Without a question.
And so now you're in front of an audience. You can be the Oprah to that audience right now. You can get them to know you and like you and trust you just like that by the way you present. So if you're going to go in front of an audience and be an idiot, and talk down and look away and only tell things and not sort of a story, you know, if you're not going to be interested and you're vibrant, you know, then sure, you're going to turn them off.
Is there
but
a spot
that's
for...
I because I can help people with that kind of a concept. So the book is something that I think is a foundational thing that led me to what I'm doing now. It's a bedrock thing. You have to have that knowledge before you can segue into what I'm doing.
I was just thinking a little bit earlier, Paul. Is there a space for storytelling and teaching from the stage? Can they be combined?
Oh, absolutely. When I'm on stage, I tell stories. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Yeah, so, I was going to say.
You're probably curtailed a little bit, like everybody at the moment, with the ability to do on-stage presentations. Are you finding that you're working with clients in different ways now because of the nature of things that are going on?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the business consulting that I do, I have people work with me and I have them tell me absolute minimum 6 months you have to work with me. And there's never an end to what can be taught. I mean, again, I'm a very young 64 and a half years old. And if I know everything, please, get me to the loony house right now. I mean, there's nothing like learning. I mean, right now, let's go into my bedroom. I'll show you there's five books on my end table. There's always learning. And it's exciting for me to learn. And so I can teach some of these things about how to be a speaker. I can go over this with clients. And there's going to come a point where the world, in a matter of speaking, opens up and speaking engagements will be a thing again, albeit we might be social distancing, so there's three chairs between me and the next guy. But again, that just means the room has to be bigger if we're going to have 20 people or 50 people. So I'm working with some folks, and in recognition of the hard economic situation that's going on right now, I have suspended payments to me. But again, I mean, when we get back up and going, then I'll be compensated appropriately. But
Just for now,
yeah, I
you're
mean,
doing it
so.
little bit differently. You're an interesting individual in as much as you not only have the legal background, you have the business background, but you also have the stage and author component. Now, with this book, and you've produced more than one, you've authored more than one book, and I've read both. Yeah, I've read two at least, and I've found them to be very refresh, full of truths. I was looking at your other book, and it was what jumped out off the page to me is that there was truth in there. A lot of the times, you don't find that with authors. Do you find it difficult to put pen to paper as an author, or is it just flow for you?
The first book that I ever wrote, I did in 3 days when my wife and daughters went on a girls' vacation, and I was sitting there doing this. Like, okay, what do I do? And so I wrote a book that I use in my law practice for marketing, and it took me 3 days, and it's a 50-page book, and I self-published it. The next book I wrote took about 6 months because it was an incredibly long, detailed book about the practice of law written for other lawyers. And it's one of the top things in my life to do. I was a syndicated newspaper columnist at a time for a time, and I gave that up because it just was taking too much time. I send a weekly email newsletter to, I think I have 15, 16,000 people who get my weekly email newsletter. I love writing. But to write a book, it's something that, takes time. I'm a perfectionist, so if I spell a word improperly, I want to make sure it's corrected before it goes to the printer. But it's a joy to do, and I very much appreciate your compliments about my books. At the end of the day, I can't countenance even the slightest bit of baloney or exaggeration or anything other than just complete, simple, lay it on the line, truth, integrity. And
Actionable
that's like,
content.
yeah.
And that's the other thing that really stuck out for me. When I was going through the book, it is easy to take in, easy to read, but is comprehensive. Now, it's very difficult to have something that's easy to read as an author, but also be comprehensive. And I think you've done that with your book. Now, I wonder
Thank you.
if you can break this into the two parts and let's talk about both sides of these parts.
Well, the book was written for people interested in business, people who want to be their own boss, the entrepreneurs, that's the audience. And it's not written for the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. It's not written for the guy who's got 850 employees. It's written for the everyday man and woman who have an idea that they want to try something on their own. And I wrote the book in two parts. The first part was the business of business. And the second part is the law of business. And I go through in a manner that I felt was, you know, without getting boring and, you know, in the minutiae of things.
Yes.
But detailed enough to help people understand how to run a business, what they need to do, what they should do, talking about marketing, talking about advertising, talking about employees, talking about any number of things that when you first have that idea, it's like, huh, this is going to be fun. I'm going to be a, or I'm going to do this. And all of a sudden, as you go through, you're like, wait a minute, I didn't know this. So let me give you an example, Rick, very quickly.
Yeah.
Let's suppose that you are, I don't know, someone that does something in a house. Let's say you're a plumber, you know, a plumber or an electrician.
Yep.
And you have a business, you have a little small electrical plumbing business, and you get lots of phone calls, and you're pretty, you know, pretty active, pretty busy guy doing electrical and plumbing work in the houses in and around the area where your business is located. And you're a happy guy, you're making money and everything's good, you have a nice life, you go on a vacation here and there and now and again. But all of a sudden the calls start coming in because you're really good at what you do and you can't handle it. So you have the idea, maybe I'll find an apprentice and make this person my second plumber electrician guy that I can send out to Mr. and Mrs. Jones or Mr. and Mrs. Smith in the neighborhood, mm-hmm. because their problem isn't that big and I know that my guy here that I trained, he can do it. Well, as the years go by, you're going to be getting more and more happy people calling, and all of a sudden this plumber electrician is not so much a plumber or an electrician anymore. He's a businessman.
He's a business person.
Running the business of all the people that he's got going out to the homes doing the plumbing and the electrical.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is where the dichotomy exists, and there's no right or wrong answer, but it comes down to whether you want to be someone who works primarily in your business or on
your business.
And the entrepreneur, that's going to be someone who works more than 50% on their business. Someone who has the joy of just being the plumber and the entrepreneur and the electrician, he'll be working 50% or more, at least 50%, probably more, in the business doing the electrical and the plumbing work.
Yeah.
So this is a life choice.
Question of scale, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, and there's no right or wrong answer.
Absolutely. I really do appreciate the insights here, because that is one of the things that I know a lot of startup entrepreneurs suffer. Even small to medium-sized businesses go through these growing pains, and to have a practical guide that will help you work through that is fantastic. However, there is also part two, which is more about the legal components, which a lot of people fall over with, and they find that they're exposed in more than one way. I was wondering if we could talk about some of the legal pitfalls and some of the ways to plug those holes, as it were.
Absolutely. Well, the first thing has to do with liability. You know, the expression that I make a lot of money is a good one, but the question then becomes, can I keep it?
Yes.
And that's a whole discussion for you and your financial advisor, but it involves legal things. So if you're an electrician or a plumber, let's just continue that story, and you don't do something correctly and someone goes downstairs and gets electrocuted, you're in a heap of trouble.
Oh, yeah.
And so my book, in the legal part of it, the second section, talks about liability insurance. And it talks about all measure of other things. Imagine the architect who helps build a building and draws the plans and doesn't get the permits or doesn't get the approvals that are needed by the city or the state or their other regulatory agencies. Oops.
Yeah.
The owner of the building has paid how many hundreds or tens of thousands of dollars, and now we got to do it all over?
All over again.
I mean, there are just so many ways to fall into trouble. So I talk about many of those rules, regulations, state laws, liability insurance, what types of things you need to have insurance for, other types of insurance that a business owner wants to consider. Employees is a major, major concern. In many, many ways, the employee goes out and does something in the terms legal in the course of doing business.
On behalf of the organization.
Right. And if there's a problem, well, the buck stops at the desk of the employer. So we talk about what kinds of things you need, training manuals. You have two people in an office environment. Look, in today's world, and I'm not, you know, one of these ninnies whose, you know, mind is constantly being concerned about all the political correctness and niceties, but let's face it, it's inappropriate to be harassed in the workplace.
Yeah.
And harassment can take any number of forms. So, you know, in fact, in one of my offices many years ago, a shocking situation developed where two people who were working for me and had known each other since childhood, he was sexually harassing her. And she came into my office in tears early one morning before work started to tell me that she was quitting. And I convinced her to stay. And as soon as he got there, I went in and fired him. And he was a valued employee, but I had no idea. So it talks about things you must do with respect to your employees. And it talks about, there's just a myriad of things there that
I've seen all of them. And there's, it's, as I mentioned earlier, Paul, it's very comprehensive. Now, if somebody, when they want to take that content and they still have questions, I suspect this is where you can step in and help them. Is that right?
It is. You know, embarrassingly, I'm, you know, promote the book, and you know, people can get that book at stepbystepbook.biz. If they buy the book from me, it's only $20. I also give them 30 minutes of a consultation. And as a matter of fact, I had that consultation with a chiropractic physician last night. He bought the book last week. And he calls up, and the first thing he wants to say is, look, I know I only have 30 minutes. Well, an hour and 20 minutes later, we got off the phone. I'm not a clock watcher. It's like the guy had questions. I wanted to see if I could help him. And I fully expect that by the end of the weekend, he's going to call me back and say, okay, Paul, I'd like to hire you as my consultant. And if he does, I'm thrilled because I know I can help the guy.
Yeah.
If he doesn't, okay, I still helped him. You know what? I can go to, I went to bed last night knowing I did a good thing for this guy. I've never met him. I have no idea who he is, but I helped him.
You're serving others, you know, and it's a very refreshing take that you have on this whole thing, because I guess historically, attorneys especially have been known to charge by the minute, by the quarter or whatever. So that's very refreshing to know. Now, one of the most important parts of this conversation, Paul, is that they've got the book. That, well, let's say they've seen you speak, they've got the book, they've read it, they've contacted you. What would be the next step if you wanted to actually work with them?
I would have a very comprehensive meeting, depending upon where they are geographically. I would literally go to their business headquarters, or if they don't have a brick and mortar place and they want to do something that is just services and they operate out of a, you know, a family room set up computer, I want to sit and physically talk with them. I want to establish a little bit of a relationship in person. And I'm going to be very comprehensive with them about every single thing they're doing that has nothing to do with ultimately what they're going to do to try to make some money. And I sit down with them and I go through every single thing that they'll let me do and let me look at. I don't have to look at their tax return, but they have to show me what the money is. They have to show me, are they making money? You know, how much are they spending? What are their expenses? I'll do a complete review in 100 ways. I'm going to impress upon them three very important things. And then we get started. The first thing is they have to have the ability to listen. You don't learn anything when you're speaking. So I'm going to impress upon them that they need to listen to their customers. And I'm going to explain to them how they do that. The next thing is they have to have the right mindset. My wife is a professional executive business and life coach. Oh my goodness, have I learned from her. Mindset is everything. Look, you know, we go through the day and we have 25 wonderful positive thoughts because of things that went on our day. But there's one little thing that was negative. You know what we focus on?
The negative.
The negative.
Yep. I'm guilty.
So the mindset must be there. You know, you cannot think the sun, the moon, the stars, and imagine it's going to happen. There's ways that you can get there, but you can't let the naysayers pull you down. Oh, you're not good enough. You're not strong enough. You're not fast enough. You're not beautiful enough. You don't speak well. You don't dress well. Okay, you know what? The heck with all those people. I am who I am, and people are going to love me and know me and like me and trust me when I bear my soul to them in the way that I'm going to teach them to do it, because every single human being is valuable. They have things that we all want to know and learn from, and they want to hear the stories we're going to tell. It's fascinating to them. So listening and the mindset, and then you have to have that love of what is it you're doing. If you don't love it, what are you doing it for? So after we get past that initial review, then I get people to get on the phone with me, and we just start, you know, giving them consultations and counseling, and I hold people accountable. If you tell me you're going to do A, B, C, D, E by Thursday of next week, on Tuesday, I'm going to send you a little text. Hey, Fred, are you 95% done with this?
Have you
and
done
on
it?
On Thursday, you better be done with it, because if you're not, I'm not going to be such a nice guy. I'm not going to be a jerk,
no.
But I'm going to say, hey,
yeah.
Are you serious about this business? Then this is what you said you were going to do. I don't want to hear that the dog ate your homework. You know, that's just not the way business is done.
It's not the way it's done. Now, look, if anybody was looking for an accountability partner, I think you've found the individual to take you there. If you're looking
yeah.
for a good start to open a book that will give you the fundamental that you need to understand from the business operational side through to the legal components, Paul is your man. Now, in closing, Paul, the most important thing that everybody needs to know is where exactly are they going to find you?
Rick, I have a number which is incredibly easy to remember. 301-5-MILLION.
301-5-MILLION,
500 and then 40s. 301 is area code 5 million. And my associate attorney answers the phone, and the potentially interested person says, hello, I'm looking for Paul Samico. And my associate attorney will say, okay, what is your name and phone number? And he calls me, and then I call the person that's interested. Just that simple. And he answers the phone pretty much if he's awake, because that phone is used not only for my consulting business potential clients, it's used for individuals who are interested in hiring my law firm to represent them for, you know, legal matters. So the phone is always answered. 301-5-MILLION. It couldn't be simpler.
301-5-MILLION. I'll even remember that. And I'm useless with numbers, Paul. Thank you so very much for sharing everything that you've done. And everybody who's on the show today, again, let me just reiterate the importance of getting your hands on this wonderful book. And I'll be making the links back to Paul so that you can talk with him directly about your business development needs. Paul, thank you so very much for spending some time with me on the My Future Business Show today.
Absolutely an honor. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed the call, then make sure to subscribe, leave a comment, share us with your friends, and book your spot on the show at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. And if you're looking for solutions that will help grow your business, then visit myfuturebusiness.com/shop.